Well, a very good morning to you all. So glad to hear that lively chatter. Let me encourage you to pick up those conversations again afterwards. If we haven't met, my name's Stuart. I'd love to say hi afterwards. Let me pray for us as we dive in this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the one that offers living water, the one alone that can satisfy. And so help us to hear clearly his words this morning and to take up the invitation to come and see for ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Tastes good. You know, to be thirsty, see what I did there? To be thirsty is a natural human phenomenon, right? It's this sensation of thirst that's a really important physiological mechanism because insufficient water or dehydration can cause really acute and chronic disease and disorder and distress. So our bodies have been designed to trigger thirst for our survival. And in that very important sense, thirst is essential for life. So it's unsurprising then that many companies try to capture this idea of thirst in their marketing. So the first one that comes to mind is Solo, right? As quote, the original thirst crusher. Okay, now maybe it's just a thing to do with lemon-flavored beverages because Sprite also has had several runs on this same idea, right? 1992, they said, control your thirst. And after that, they said, obey your thirst. And then more recently, freedom from thirst. But it's not just carbonated beverages that are appealing to our thirst. Many other companies also target our thirst, and they push beyond the physiological and tap into our thirst in different ways. Our desire to be quenched or satisfied. So think of Coca-Cola, open happiness. It's this desire for joy and happiness. Or Airbnb, belong anywhere. It's a desire for belonging, a place to be. Or L'Oreal, is that how you pronounce it? They say, because you're worth it. A desire to be valued. But for all that these and many other companies promise, it's worth taking the time to pause and consider, isn't it? Is it actually working? Do they deliver on their word? Do they really quench our thirst and meet our desires? Are we satisfied? Now, as you've no doubt seen, the large banner out the front and the lovely black and yellow shirts about, that's exactly the question that we are asking. Satisfied? Meet Jesus. We're inviting our friends and family in Robina and beyond to meet Jesus because he's the only one that can truly satisfy. Jesus is the only one who knows what we actually need and the only one that can provide it. We want everyone to meet Jesus because he is good and loving and kind. And he is for all people, even the outsider who feels like they don't belong, they don't have value, they haven't found happiness that they were promised. This morning we meet Jesus with the outsider. And we pick up our story as Jesus journeys north to Galilee from Judea, in the south. And he has to travel through the area of Samaria. So Jesus comes to this Samaritan town of Sychar, and he arrives at a well. And after walking all morning, and now under the hot noonday sun, he's tired. Jesus is tired. He's tired from his journey, and so he sits down at the well to rest. And then we come to verse 7. So if you've got your little booklet and you've closed it, let me encourage you to open him up again, come to page 20, and see together with me verse 7. You've got it there? Verse 7 says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now, this may not seem tremendously out of the ordinary, But these first few words in this verse tell us almost everything we need to know about the encounter that's about to unfold. So let's just pay attention to this little bit. Okay, here it is. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. Okay, first A. So the indefinite pronoun, or rather the indefinite article, for you grammatical nerds out there, and up here, obviously. One Samaritan woman, not many, just one. She's on her own. And that's quite strange. Women going to collect water from the well would usually go in groups. But this woman is alone. That's the first thing to notice. And this woman that comes is a Samaritan. So back in the Old Testament, after the separation of Israel into the north and the south, the capital of the northern kingdom is called Samaria. And increasingly, that's the word used for the region and even the whole of the northern kingdom. So if you've been to Japan, and I know that many of you have, it's a little bit like Tokyo, right? So Tokyo is a station. There's a station inside of a city, and the city is within this bigger, broader region of Tokyo. Okay? That's kind of what's happening with Samaria. And when the Assyrians come from the north in 722 BC and they capture Samaria and they deport the cream of society, well, they settle the area with foreigners who then intermingle with the surviving Israelites. And they bring with them their own form of religion. Okay, this is all happening in the background as Jesus comes to the well. So if you're a Jew, in the south, they viewed the Samaritans not only as political rebels that have separated from the north or the south, but they're also racial half-breeds in a sense. So if you're reading Harry Potter, you might call them mudbloods. Maybe that's helpful. Now, their religion has been tainted and deformed by these various foreign elements. Okay, that's the second thing. The third and final thing to observe in verse 7 is that this Samaritan woman comes to draw water. Okay, now that's not noteworthy in and of itself per se, but do you remember the time of day? At the end of verse 6, if you have a look, it says it was about noon. Okay, so imagine it's the middle of summer and the lawn needs a mow. Now thankfully I live in an apartment and I don't have to worry about this, but let's just pretend I had to mow the lawn, right? When am I going to do it? Am I going to do it under the blazing sun and the sweltering heat of the midday? Well, probably not. Most likely you'll do it in the morning, before the heat of the day, or in the late afternoon. And so it's the same for going to a well to fetch water. The sensible and common thing to do would be go in the morning, in a group. But this Samaritan woman goes on her own at noon, when no one else is there, or at least when she expects no one else to be there. So the question is why? Well, we can make a good guess from verse 17, a little bit down page there. "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband." Even by today's standards, being divorced five times would be quite exceptional. How much more in the cultural context of the first century? There's a lot of social stigma there. And that's why she goes alone. That's why she goes when no one else is there. So if we put all that together, what do we have? Well, she's an outsider. An outsider ethnically, socially, morally. She's excluded from God's people, but ostracized from her own people. And yet, it is to this lonely Samaritan woman that Jesus comes and asks for a drink. Okay, now if you're scrolling through your Facebook feed, if this were a clickbait internet meme, it would read, "A Samaritan woman comes to Jacob's well alone. You won't believe what happens next." Right? And in fact, she can hardly believe it either. So look at verse 8. See how she reacts. "The Samaritan woman said to him," that's Jesus, "well, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" She's surprised and confused, and she can't fathom what would possess a Jewish man to ask her for a drink. But little does she know that actually it's Jesus that has come to offer her something. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and well, he would have rejected you because of your race, or he would have rejected you based on your social status. He would have rejected you based on your morality. No. No, Jesus says what no one else would have. See it in verse 10. You would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Where the world would have dismissed her, Jesus comes to offer her something that the world can't. But she doesn't quite understand yet, and if with even a hint of derision, she asks, bro, where's your bucket? How can you get water from a well without a bucket? But rather than dismissing her, Jesus demonstrates his astonishing kindness and patience. He leans in further and explains to her in verse 13, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This gift of God, this living water, well, he's not talking about a fancy brand of bottled water like Pump or Mount Franklin. It turns out there is a company called Living Water. They advertise this. Here it is. Exceptional purity from pristine wilderness artesian water with a balance of minerals naturally filtered by nature through flish rock formations. A future full of possibilities starts by drinking pure quality water. I mean, wow. I've never been so excited for a bottle of water. But that's not what Jesus is talking about, no. No matter how pristine your water, you'll always be thirsty again. That's kind of their business model, isn't it? That's how they stay in business. Now, Jesus is offering living water. Water that once you drink it, you'll never be thirsty again. Because this water actually gives water. It's water that becomes a spring of water. Water overflowing, water in abundance, water that never dries up, and water that quenches, water that satisfies like nothing else can. Well, this certainly piques the interest of the Samaritan woman. Sir, she says, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. But I'm sure that you've realized by now, even if our Samaritan woman hasn't, that Jesus isn't talking about literal water. Living water is a metaphor, it's an image to describe a bigger reality. When Jesus speaks of living water, he's referring to the Spirit of God, which we'll see in chapter 7. The gift of God is the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that becomes in a person a spring of water, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That sounds a lot better than pristine wilderness water. We can only be satisfied in life when we come to the source of life, when we come to the one who offers us that life-giving, all-satisfying, living water. So take the Samaritan woman as an example. What was she trying to find satisfaction in? Well, here we are again. Why not take 30 seconds with the person next to you? Here's the question again, okay? Here's the question. What is the Samaritan woman trying to find satisfaction in? Just take a quick 30 seconds with the person next to you. What do you think? How did we go? What do we think? Wasn't she trying to find satisfaction in a relationship? Five husbands and a new man now that is not her husband. Now, no doubt, a first century woman wasn't looking for that same subjective kind of sense of satisfaction that we might think of today. That's a given. But she was certainly looking for something. You know, maybe it was social standing, social status, maybe it was financial security that comes with having a husband in the first century. And although that we are not the same, we are guilty of the same, guilty of trying to find satisfaction in things that can't provide it, trying to find life in what does not give life. Now, for you, it may or may not be relationships in the perfect partner or the perfect marriage. It may be in your career, moving up the ladder, in your continued success and the power and the prestige that comes with it. Or it might be in family, the success of your children, the love of your grandchildren. It might be in your shiny new Tesla or the big fancy house. It might be the lifestyle, the freedom to choose what you want to do and when you want to do it, the security that money tries to buy. Well, whatever it is, Australia is realizing that it's not working. The life satisfaction statistics from the latest Australian Unity Wellbeing Index shows that Australia's satisfaction in life is at its lowest in more than two decades. In the face of what's being called a perma-crisis, after fires and floods and global pandemics and international wars, the places that we were once seeking satisfaction in are turning up shallow and empty. You know, once you peel back that glossy veneer, everything the world offers is revealed to be hollow. Now, this reveals something important about us and something important about Jesus. First is that we are looking to be satisfied, and that's a normal and natural inclination, but we're looking in all the wrong places. And second, that Jesus offers something that only he can give. And he offers it freely. Living water, life now and life eternal. And that's why Jesus can say in verse 22, he says to the Samaritan woman, "Well, you Samaritans worship what you don't know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Now, us, just like the Samaritans, we worship things that we don't know, stuff and people, and the worst thing is we don't even know we're doing it. But Jesus says that salvation comes from the Jews because he is a Jew. Jesus is the one that gives living water, the only thing that can truly quench our thirst and bring true and lasting satisfaction. But notice that he doesn't say that salvation is for the Jews, or at least not for the Jews alone. He says that salvation is from the Jews, and he's offering it to this Samaritan woman, the outsider, the outcast, the one that no one accepts. This is the reason that the author John includes this encounter. Here we see Jesus' kindness and tenderness to the one on the outside, the one that's too far removed, too far gone, to the one that's made a mess of their life, that they've done things they regret, to the one that isn't satisfied and yet has no recourse for change, to the one feeling stuck and downcast and trapped. And John makes clear that whether you're like this Samaritan woman or like Nicodemus last week, both are in desperate need of what only Jesus can give. That both, for their separate reasons and in their separate ways, have sought satisfaction in the wrong place. And that Jesus has come to give the satisfaction they're looking for, if only they would come to him and believe. So how does our Samaritan friend respond? Well, we see in verse 28, "Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?'" There's three things worth noting here. First, she leaves her water jar. Do you remember why she was at the well in the first place? Why she went through the effort of walking to the well, even under the midday sun? Well, she came to get water, and now she leaves her water jar behind. She's found something much better, and in her haste to second, go to the town and speak to the people. And remember, these are the very people that she's been trying to avoid by going to the well at noon. The same people that have ostracized her and that her decisions in life have excluded her from. Well, she goes to tell them something that they also need to hear. And so third, she calls them to come and see. Verse 29, come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? Now her invitation to the people is also a confession and an acceptance of her life to date. Everything I've ever done. Instead of running from her past and the people in it, she now runs towards the people with excitement, but with some hesitation. She says, could this be the Messiah? So notice the risk that she's taking here. Such is the great value of the gift that she thinks she has found in Jesus. And what is the result? Well, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, in Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. But not only that, they urged him to stay. And Jesus, in his kindness and great mercy, although he's in the middle of his own journey north, where he stays with them 2 days to help them in their journey to find satisfaction. I was reading this passage with a friend at uni recently, and he was overwhelmed by how generous Jesus is. How generous Jesus is just to stay an extra 2 days, to completely go out of his way, or even to speak with the Samaritan woman in the first place, this cultural faux pas. You see, it's not only what Jesus offers that satisfies, it's Jesus himself that satisfies. Well, finally, we have these wonderful words in verse 42. You'll see that on the next page. The people said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. See it clearly here. Jesus is the Savior. That means he is the one that can save us from our vain pursuit of satisfaction. Because he is the only one that can satisfy, he is the only one that offers living water. But notice that he is the Savior of the world. The saving work of Jesus is complete and exhaustive. And though not all choose to receive it, no one is excluded from what he offers. Not even a Samaritan woman going to fetch water at noon. So if you're a visitor with us here this morning, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. But please hear the invitation of the Samaritan woman to the townspeople. Come and see. And as part of our current Meet Jesus series at Salt, that's exactly what we're inviting people to do, to uncover and see for yourself. So come and see. That's our invitation to you, whether it's here on a Sunday or in one of our smaller groups during the week. If this is something you'd be interested in, something you'd like to look into further, please do speak to the friend that brought you here this morning, or chat with me, or chat with Mike, or anyone you've seen at the front. Why not check it out for yourself? You never know. It might be better than you could have ever imagined. Satisfied? Meet Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you again that Jesus is the one that can quench our thirst, the one alone that can satisfy, because he himself satisfies. Help us to go out on a limb, to take a risk, to invite our friends, but also to see for ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.